How many of you have seen Rise of Skywalker? Oh, just us three. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So I'm like the Star Wars fan that grew up. I had all the toys. I watched all the movies. I'm this kind of type of Star Wars fan that I know all the movie titles by acronym. And so instead of The Last Jedi, I know it as TLJ, right? And so I'm like a huge Star Wars fan. And you know, you ever meet those people that have never seen Star Wars? Is there anyone in this house that have never? Oh my God. Okay, y'all need Jesus, okay? Well, to me, it was a mystery that when I went to college that I met people that had never seen Star Wars, this thing that I was so passionately in love with. And it boggled my mind, like, what kind of childhood did you have? And granted, I had a really weird childhood. I used to watch Chucky and Jason when I was growing up. But anyway, I was so baffled that people didn't know Star Wars. And so I would start to describe what is Star Wars to these people that have never seen it before. It's about Luke Skywalker. It's about the Jedi. It's about this crazy green little monster named Yoda. It's about the Force. It's about all these space battles. And I would describe all these things, and people would really get into it while I'm describing it. But I noticed something would happen every time that they decided to watch it. So I had a few friends that I told about in college about Star Wars. And they're like, you know what, I'm going to watch the original trilogy for the first time. And I would watch it with them. And you know when you introduce something you really love to someone that's never experienced it, you want them to enjoy it. And so we're watching the movie together, and I'm just watching them. And what I'm watching is complete boredom as they're watching my favorite movies. And I slowly see them progress to a place of comfort and eventually a place of falling asleep while watching the original Star Wars. And I wake them up at the end of the movie. I'm like, what did you think? Like, isn't it amazing? And my friends would tell me, this is not what I expected. Like, from what you told me and what I saw, this is not what I expected. And of course, it's devastating to me because I love Star Wars. And I think life, just like those who have never experienced Star Wars, who watch it for the first time, think this is not what I expected. I think life is full of the, this is not what I expected. I think not just for movies, but so many other situations where, I don't know, you see something that looks really good on Yelp, right? You show up to the restaurant, and you get what you saw on the pictures, and it's not what you expected. It's not what it looked like. I used to watch those Carl's Jr.'s commercials on TV, and I would start craving Carl's Jr. because the way they make the burgers look, like it falls in slow motion, it's huge. And then I go to Carl's Jr., I open up the burger wrapper, and it looks like crap. Like it doesn't look anything like I expected it to. You know, even right now, The Rise of Skywalker's out. There's a huge controversy because people are upset about this last movie. And they're upset because it's not what they expected it to be. And I think a lot of times, a lot of our lives is filled with, this is not what I expected. God told me to move to San Francisco. I'm here, God. I thought it was supposed to be great. It's not what I expected. God, you told me to go to this job, to take this opportunity. I'm at this workplace. I'm here. But nothing is going according to plan. This is not what I expected. God, you told me to stay in this relationship. I'm here. I'm working on it. But it's not what I expected. God, you told me to stay at 99. I show up on Christmas Sunday and no one's here. This is not what I expected. I think life is full of the this is not what I expected. And I wonder how many times we find ourselves in the middle of our this is not what I expected. And we think, God, you've abandoned me. God, you left me here alone. God, you're not moving in my life. But today, the message that I want to share with you is a very simple message. It's simply that God is in the this is not what I expected. And that actually God's greatest gifts often come in the most unexpected ways. And oftentimes we'll miss what God is doing when we're wrapped up in this is not what I expected. Instead of learning to see that it's actually his greatest gifts for us. Now, when you were kids, Christmas was all about presents. For some of you, it's still all about presents, I know. But when you were a kid, you know that there was specific types of gifts that you longed for, that you wanted. I remember my family's really good at wrapping gifts, and so we'd throw a bunch of gifts under the tree. And I remember the biggest, shiniest gifts were the ones that I was most drawn to. How many of you could resonate? Like, you didn't want those little cards. Like, cards when you're a kid? Like, you don't want that crap. You want the big, shiny wrap gift. And I remember many Christmas, I would open up those big, shiny gifts. I would open up, it's beautifully wrapped. And There's nothing worse than as a kid opening up your gift and finding clothes. So I remember as a kid, I'm opening these beautiful gifts and all I find are clothes. This is not what I expected. And I find that a lot of times we're waiting for God to give us these shiny gifts. And we expect them to be beautifully wrapped. We expect them to be large and extravagant. We expect them a specific way. But we find that God's greatest gifts are actually wrapped up in the weirdest wrapping paper. In the most unkept, in the most, you know, if you've seen me wrap gifts, for those of you who got my white elephant gift last week, like, I'm not a good gift wrapper, right? When I wrap gifts, like, there's 300 pieces of tape on there, there's holes in it. Like, I wrapped a gift for Krista's Christmas gift this week, and it was funny because part of it actually ripped so she could see what it was before I even put it under the tree. That's how bad I am. And I find that a lot of times we're expecting these beautiful, extravagant, beautifully just kept gifts that God gives us. But oftentimes the gifts that God gives us that are actually worth something are wrapped up in wrapping paper that we wouldn't expect. And so Advent reminds us that God's greatest gift to the world came in an unexpected way. And so we're going to explore the story of Jesus, the one you've heard so many times. And I hope today that God would remind you of the simple truth that his greatest gifts come in the most unexpected ways. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 18 through 19. And this is how it starts. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, cameo. Did I write that wrong? Cameo. Bout. I changed it to be more street. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Remember, these are teenagers. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I want us to focus on that phrase that he had in mind. You have to remember, Joseph and Mary, they're deep in love. They're about to get married. They're just teenagers. Now, some of you don't know what this is like. Only Fatai and I know. But wedding planning is very stressful. And I remember when Krista and I were wedding planning, there's just so much going on. But the thing that kept us going is imagining that perfect day, that all of this hell, all of these tears, all of these fights, all of this stress will be worth it when we get to that altar on that perfect day. The flowers are going to be gorgeous. All our friends are going to be there. We're going to be laughing in slow motion. We're going to be drinking, having a good time. And we think, man, if only we could get to that day, it will be fine. And so Joseph and Mary, they're thinking, oh my God, we're planning for our wedding. We're planning for this future together. We're going to start a family. They had this idea, this picture of what their future was going to be like. We're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're going to start a family. We're going to serve the Lord. But all of a sudden, God interrupts their plans. And Joseph finds himself saying, "This isn't what I expected. I expected that Mary and I are going to get married, have a beautiful wedding, have this beautiful life. But all of a sudden, God, you're throwing this wrench into our plans." And he finds himself in this place where this is not what I expected. This is not what I signed up for. And it says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I wonder how many of us have in mind to divorce ourselves from the things that God sends us because it doesn't look the way that we expected it to. I wonder how many times we have in mind to throw away the very gifts that God's given us, but because it doesn't come in the way that we expected, in the way that we wanted it to look, we're so quick to throw it away. God, I pray for this job, and it's not working out the way that I thought it would, and so I have in mind to leave it. God, I thought this city is where you've called me to, but it's not feeling the way I thought it would, so I have in mind to separate myself from it. How many of you can think of instances in your life where you had in mind to give up on what God has given you? See, I think there are so many times where we have in mind, just like Joseph did, to separate ourselves from the very things that God's given us as gifts. How many of you can think of times in your life where you had in mind to give up, but you're so thankful that you didn't. You're so thankful that you decided to stick through it. You're so thankful that you decided to ask God, God, give me eyes to see this differently, because you came to realize that his ways are higher than yours, and that even though it's not what you expected it to be, even though it doesn't look what you thought it would look like, that you thank God that you didn't do what you had in mind. I thank God that we didn't have in mind to give up, because 99 would not have been born. I thank God that even for Krista and I, that we didn't have in mind to write each other off because we were completely friend zoned. Like, if y'all know our love story, we were deep in the friend zone, both of us. Like, that's a pit no one comes out of. And if we had it in mind, if we had it our way, because I had an idea of what my future wife would look like. To be quite honest, I was honestly expecting something very different from Krista when I was looking for my wife. If I had it in mind, if I had it the way that I wanted it, the way that I pictured it, the way I expected it, I would have missed out on the most beautiful gift. And I think for so many of us, we fall into the temptation of falling into our have in minds and say, this is not what I thought it would look like, and so I'm going to throw it away. But what if that thing that you have before you that isn't what you thought it would be, that doesn't feel like what you thought it would be, is the very gift that God wants to bless you with? James 1:17, Paul says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, my wife, Krista, she gave me new revelation for what this verse actually means. It doesn't mean that every good thing in our lives that we recognize is from God. It means everything in our lives is his good and perfect gift. You know, she tells me all the time when she was breaking up with her ex, thank God that they broke up. But when she was breaking up with her ex, she had a conversation with God. God led her to this verse. And she's like, God, what do I do? Do I stay with him or do I leave? Do I stay with him or do I leave? And she heard God say, whatever you decide will be my good and perfect gift. If this relationship doesn't work out, it's my good and perfect gift. If it does work out, it's my good and perfect gift. Will you trust that whatever I give you, whatever it ends up looking like, is my good and perfect gift to you? What if we could trust that whatever is in our lives right now, as crappy as the situation might be, as hard as it might be, as difficult as it might be, as unexpected as it might be, what if we could trust God enough to say, even this that's causing me so much pain, even this that's causing me to lose hope and faith, even this that's tearing me apart, is your good and your perfect gift? Because it doesn't look like it. It looks like it's wrapped in Mickey's gift wrapping paper. There's holes, there's uneven edges, there's 300 pieces of tape holding it together. But what if we could trust that this is still your good and perfect gift for me? We go on, Matthew 1:20-21, it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What if the very thing that's before us that we despise, that is unexpected, that is shattering our expectations, what if we could believe that the thing that's before us is conceived of the Holy Spirit? What if that job that you hate so much is actually conceived of the Holy Spirit? What if that family that you want to get away from is actually conceived of the Holy Spirit? What if God's greatest gift to you is wrapped up in this ugly, broken, ripped up, crumpled wrapping paper? It's actually conceived of the Holy Spirit. See, God's greatest gifts come in the most unexpected ways. See, we have to remember, Israel at this time, they're waiting for a savior who would come with power and strength. But instead, they got a baby that was helpless and weak. They were expecting a king of royalty and stature. Instead, they got a refugee, humbly born in a manger. See, can you imagine? Jesus comes to save the world, but no one recognizes that he wasn't the savior that they were expecting. No one recognizes it because of the way that he came wrapped. You know, I used to do a lot of hip hop. I used to rap. And whenever I'd go to perform, people would always tell me after they hear me rap, when I listened to your music before, you're not what I expected. And I don't know if that's a compliment or like a diss, but every time someone would come up to me and say, I listen to your music all the time. And now that I see you, it's not what I expected. And I'm like, what did you expect? And he's like, I don't know, like that you'd look more like a rapper and less like a math teacher. And it's like, Jesus comes to this world and they're expecting this strong, powerful, royal king. And they get this helpless baby. You see, we'll miss God's greatest gifts if we don't learn to shift our perspective. If we don't learn to look past the wrapping, look past what we expected it to look like, look past what we pictured it to look like, we're going to miss God. Now, real quick, by show of hands, I want to ask you a very simple question. Who do you think in this story between Mary and Joseph had the harder job? Now, I want you to think wisely, okay? Who had the harder job, Mary or Joseph? In a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands because I want to see. Who do you think, be very careful, okay? Who do you think had the harder job in this story? Who thinks it was Mary? Raise your hand. Amen, amen, amen. Who thinks it was Joseph? Okay. Usually there are no wrong answers in this case, but Joseph is the wrong answer. You see, in the story it says, it's funny, it says this, she will give birth to the son. So she's going to get pregnant and give birth to the son. And Joseph's role in this is you're to give him a name. So give birth or name him. Give birth or name him. Obviously, in the natural, and as a husband, I must say, Mary had the harder job. Like, she has to get pregnant, hold that baby for 9 months, give birth. Imagine they had no anesthetics back then. Like, she's just literally giving a natural birth to a baby in a guest room of a house, right? She obviously had the harder job. But Fatai and Jonathan, first of all, I want to call you out in the podcast for your future wives. I want them to remember this. But I kind of see where you're coming from too. Here's why. Before I get stoned to death, here's why. Mary, she had the harder job physically, obviously, giving birth. But she knew that what was inside of her was from God. How did she know? Because you ain't gonna get pregnant if you ain't creeping around. And Mary knows in her mind, I have not had sex. I've remained a virgin. I've remained clean. And so now that there's this physical baby growing in me, I know for certain it's God because it's my body. I know it was God because I did not creep around. I know because I did not have sex. I know it's God because there's no other explanation. And I feel the physical baby growing inside my body. I know Mary knew. Mary, did you know? That's not the right song. We should be singing, Joseph, did you know? See, Joseph had a visitation from an angel. But I think it's foolish to assume that he didn't spend the rest of his life wondering, was this really from God? See, Fatai's like, yeah. See, how many of us have had encounters with God where we swear it was God, and a week later, was that God? Right? Imagine Joseph and Mary knew, but Joseph, I feel like over time, he's probably asking again and again, was it really God? Like, was it really God? And I feel like, you know, he's walking around at church and bringing Mary, and now they have baby Jesus. He's looking at people. He's like, I don't know, your nose kind of looks like his. Like, your eyes, like, you know, like, he's probably wondering for the rest of his life, was this really God? And so I think in the natural, of course, Mary had the harder job. But I think in the spirit, I actually think Joseph had a harder job. Why? Because he had to believe in something that he didn't fully know. He had to have faith for something that Mary knew with certainty because it was her body. But he had to know with faith something that he couldn't be sure of for the rest of his life. You know, many of us also are in that place of Joseph where we don't know. God, I want to believe this is your greatest gift for me. I want to believe that you're in this pain. I want to believe that you're in this circumstance, but I just don't know. And maybe the hardest thing, the hardest part of our walk with God is believing when we don't know. And I want to tell you, it's okay. And even though it's hard to see the thing before you as a gift, it's okay to not know. Because we find in the next verse, in 22:23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think it's significant. It says something. There is a message here. Why Jesus chose to be born as a baby. Have you ever seen a pregnancy, a live pregnancy? I haven't seen one live either, but I remember I was forever scarred during sex ed when they showed us a video of a live pregnancy. And, you know, I think growing up, you just think, oh, it's like, boop, right? But you see that it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I'm learning all these things, you know, because we're probably going to start a family in the next few years. I'm learning all these things about pregnancy. My best friend just had a baby. I'm learning all these things that there's a lot of fluids that come out, right? There's a lot of things that tear. Man, I heard some horrific details. I hear even, like, sometimes, you know, people crap themselves. Like, it's messy. It's nasty. I hear there's all sorts of smells, all sorts of fluids, all sorts of stuff that's coming out as the baby is coming out. And yet Jesus chose to come into this world through the messiest means possible. I want you to think about a birth. Think that the Savior of the world could have just come from the clouds as a king, but he chose to come through that nasty, fluid-filled, tearing tunnel. He came to come through the way that we came into the world. He came in through the same mess that we came in through. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Birth is messy, yet Jesus chose to come in through the world through the same mess that we came into the world with. See, I think Jesus understands that faith is messy, that we're going to find ourselves in situations where, like Joseph, he says, "I don't know, and I have in mind to run away from this thing or to throw it away." But I think Jesus knows that he understands that faith is hard. He understands that there's going to be expectations not met. He understands that faith is going to be messy. But he empathizes with what you're experiencing in your family. He empathizes with what you're experiencing in your work. He empathizes with your dissatisfaction in your life. He empathizes through your mess, through the mess that we're experiencing in life. That's why it says that he's Emmanuel, God with us. That even though we don't see him in our situations, we can trust that he is God with us. I only think Joseph made it through his life because he believed in an Emmanuel. Mary, I don't know for certain. Like, an angel visited me, but I don't know if that was, I was hallucinating. I don't know. I don't know if what this is a gift. But I know that he's Emmanuel. I know that he's God with us. And so I can trust even in this mess, even in this hardship, even in this circumstance, and Jesus, you're here, that you're with me. And I can have faith, a messy faith, to believe that your greatest gifts come in the most unexpected ways. I think for a lot of us, we're in situations in our lives where we're feeling like, this is not what I expected. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I imagined to happen in my life, or with my family, or with my job, or with my circumstance. But what if we learn to let go of our expectations and trust that what God gives us right here, right now, will somehow be worked out to be my good and my perfect gift? See, sometimes we have to let go of our picture to step into God's purpose. And I think a lot of times we have to let go of our expectations in order to see what God purposed for our lives. As crappy as the gift wrapping might be, as difficult as the circumstance might be, as painful as the gift may appear, I know that you're Emmanuel, God with us. I know that you're here right now in whatever I'm going through. And I know that you're turning it into the good and perfect gift for my life. So I want us to meditate on that this Christmas as the last Advent message. The simple truth that God's greatest gifts come in the most unexpected ways. And I think even the things that feel like pain, even the things that feel like torture and torment in this season, I feel like we'll be able to look back on and say, God, that was actually the gift that I needed. That was actually what my family needed. That was actually what I needed for my job. That's actually what I needed for my destiny and my circumstance. Why don't we pray right now? And today, I just want us to pray a simple prayer with God. I want us to pray for eyes to see as God sees. I want us to pray for faith to believe that everything that God has given me in my life is His good and His perfect gift. I want to make a distinction, though. I don't believe that God willed for the pain that you're experiencing or the tragedy that you're experiencing or the hardship. The good father never wills or longs for these things to happen to his children. But I do believe that he is the good father that takes the mess, that takes the pain, that takes the circumstances of our lives and turns them into his good and perfect gifts. And I feel the voice of the father saying, I'm sorry for what you're experiencing. I never wanted that for you. I never willed that upon your life. I never desired or wanted this to happen to you. But even in the midst of it, I'm turning it for your good. Will you trust? Will you trust that even if you don't know, even if you don't see, even if it's different from what you expected, even if it's different from what you pictured, would you trust that I am with you in it? Will you trust that I'm turning it for your good? Will you trust that you'll look back and say, this was a good and perfect gift? My gifts might not look clean and pretty on the outside. In fact, my greatest gift to the world came in the messiest way. It came wrapped in weakness. It came wrapped in messiness. It came wrapped in humbleness. But will you have eyes to see it? And so God, this morning, would you awaken our hearts? Would you give us eyes to see everything that you've placed before us as your greatest gifts? That they've been conceived in the Holy Spirit. And that even when we don't know, we can trust that you are Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. We trust you, God. We love you. We ask that you would come as you came 2,000 years ago into our very lives right now. Help us let go of our expectations. Help us believe that this isn't what I pictured, but this is what you purposed. We love you, God. We give you the highest praise.